6 वेदाहं समतीतानि वर्तमानानि च अर्जुन भविष्यानि च भूतानि मां तु वेदन कश्चन। सो हियर वेदाहं समतीतानि, आई नो वेदाहं, आई नो समतीतानि कंप्लीटली ऑफ द पास्ट, वर्तमानानि च अर्जुन द प्रेजेंट, भविष्यानि च भूतानि द फ्यूचर, भूतानि ऑफ ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स, मां तु वेदन कश्चन, बट अबाउट मी नो वन नोज। सो हियर कृष्णा इज एक्नॉलेजिंग, प्रोक्लेमिंग रादर हिज ओमनिशियंस। ओमनिशियंस इज वन ऑफ द डिफाइनिंग एट्रीब्यूट्स ऑफ गॉड। यूजुअली omniscience, omnipotence and omnipresence, these three are considered to be his defining attributes. Among these, the omniscience is considered to be taken up for consideration here, and that is based on the context. In the previous section, Krishna had talked about how people who are alpamed, who are ritajnana or abuddhaya, they surrender to someone other than him. And then he said that this is because of the covering of maya. Then this question may come up, okay, does the covering of maya cover, if it covers everyone, does it cover Krishna also? And Krishna said, yoga maya samavritaha, completely covered, you see. So Krishna makes it clear that he is not covered over here. He is omniscient. An earlier verse, which is a pointer towards the omniscience, was 4.5, when Krishna stated that Bahuni me vetitani janmani tava cha arjuna tanyam veda sarvani atvam vetta parantapa. Krishna stated that both of us have gone through many lifetimes. Bahuni me vetitani janmani tava cha arjuna, many lives we have gone through. Tanyam veda sarvani, I know all of them, Arjuna, but you don't know. Atvam vetta parantapa. So there also the difference between the non-forgetting memory of Krishna and the forgetful memory of the soul. Arjuna is not a conditioned soul, but even still he doesn't remember. That is differentiated. And that difference is further explicated and highlighted here in 7.26, when he states that Vedaham Samatitani, that I know everything, past, present and future. So of course Krishna has earlier also pointed this out, when he has said that he is above the three modes. Mame bhya paramavyam, he had said in 7.13. Sometimes, some skeptics, some atheists, they say that there is a inherent self-contradiction in the very definition of God, or rather the defining attributes of God. They say that if God is omniscient, then he can't be omnipotent. If he's omnipotent, he can't be omniscient. And the reasoning they give for this differentiation, for differentiating thus, is that they say that God cannot both, if he can do everything, then if the future is to be known, if he knows the future, then that means he won't be able to change it. That is how things are to go. And if he can change it, then he won't know it. Then he can be either omniscient or he can be omnipotent. He cannot be both. Actually, we need to understand that God's attributes are not like the static attributes of some material objects. For example, somebody is a super tall person. Now, if that person is very tall, that being so tall might help that person to win an award as the tallest person in the world, maybe an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records. But then that ultra-tall height might also create a problem. The person may have to stoop down low to enter ordinary doors, and some doors it may be very difficult to enter. If a person goes into a movie theater, if that person sits somewhere people behind can't see and people start complaining. So the point is that in that case, it's an attribute which may sometimes be a cause of celebration, but sometimes it can also be a cause of constant consternation. Sometimes it may perplex one, irritate one. And that can happen if one is not careful, one is not conscious. When we attribute something similar to God, then we are operating under a superficial understanding of God. God is not stuck with his attributes. He is omnipotent, he is omniscient, but over and above that, he is omnibenevolent. He is an all-loving person. And his various attributes are used in the service of his omnibenevolence. So when Krishna wants, he can manifest his omnipotence. When Krishna wants, he can manifest his omniscience. And when he doesn't want, he may not manifest any of them. It is not that Krishna is stuck with those attributes. No, he is not stuck with anything. So for example, when Krishna is playing hide and seek, say, a stolen butter and then hiding from Yashoda. Now does he know that Yashoda is going to catch me or Yashoda is not going to catch me? I'm going to be punished or I'm not going to be punished? Does Krishna know, for example, oh, I am God, but I'm just doing a leela as a small naughty boy? When Krishna does something, he becomes completely absorbed in doing that thing. And by being absorbed thus, he relishes what he is doing. So similarly, when we understand that Krishna is Leela Dham, he is the abode of unlimited pastimes, and everything that he does is in the service of his pastimes, is in the pursuance of his reciprocation of love, then if for a particular pastime his omniscience will come in the way, then he may temporarily choose to conceal his omniscience. Sometimes if his omniscience, his omnipotence comes in the way, just like when Krishna wants to lift up, his parents tell him to lift up a vessel and bring, and that vessel is so big. Krishna, he initially, just like sometimes some wrestlers, they slap their thighs, they slap their arms to emphasize how much muscles they have. It creates a loud sound, and by that they say as if they are trying to intimidate their opponent by showing how much power they have. But Krishna does that. Now he's so tiny, he's just imitating others whom he has seen doing like that. He does that and he tries to lift his lift the vessel, and he shakes and shakes and shakes, and when he can't lift it, he becomes embarrassed, he blushes, and he runs and hides in his mother's sari, feeling shy at his lack of power. Now this actually intensifies Krishna's the love of devotees. Yashoda and Nanda Krishna, they all laugh and they feel he's a sweet boy, and Krishna reciprocates that intensification of love. So Krishna is not stuck with his attributes. He has whatever attributes are needed for the performance of his pastimes. He manifests them, and other times he can unmanifest them. Of course, in the context of this verse, the emphatic point is that when we understand that Krishna is not an illusion, that Krishna is not bound, Krishna is enlightened and liberated, then we can wholeheartedly put our faith in him. We can have the confidence that he will enlighten and liberate us, And therefore, we should simply know and do what He wants us to do. Just like a patient who has confidence. This doctor is healthy, a doctor has healed other people, a doctor knows how to heal me. Then the patient feels confident. Yes, let me just follow whatever the doctor tells me. Similarly, by understanding that Krishna is beyond illusion, we can get the confidence to surrender to Krishna.